we be on our feet? Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we are in a period of self-consecration, a period of sober reflection at our spiritual life, with only one motive, Lord, that we shall become better Christians and be more Christ-like. For that is your reason you went to the cross of Calvary. May we achieve this during this period of consecration in the name of Jesus Christ. We want to look at a very short exhortation. Come and speak to your people, Lord. And use something that I will say to make somebody to take their eternal destination more seriously, Lord. That at the end, Father, your name will be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Luke chapter 2 and from verse 4. Hallelujah. From verse 41. Luke chapter 2 from verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing, assuming him to have been in their company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not, that is, know ye not, that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. Amen. And I'm looking at the sermon topic that I titled Salvation by Assumption. Salvation by Assumption. That is, you assume that you are saved. You assume that you are saved. And salvation is not by assumption. Hallelujah. There is a confirmation of salvation. When you are saved, you know you are saved. When a woman has given birth to a child, she will not say, I believe I have. Be like, say, and then tell me, say, and your husband say, you see, you have a child. Okay, yes, I have a child. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is why we say, when you are born again, it's not somebody that will tell you are born again. You will know you are born again. You are sure you are born again. And this is a period we set aside every year to take heed to the advice or warning of Apostle Peter that you should give diligence to make your calling and election sure. That is, be sure you are among God's elect. Because only the elect will go in the rapture. Be sure, hallelujah, be sure that if Christ comes tomorrow, you will go with him. And you will not go because somebody told you you are born again. If not, you will look for that person to tell you why you have not gone in the rapture after the rapture has taken place. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Salvation is about life and death. Until you catch that revelation, you won't take your election seriously. You won't take your eternal destination seriously. You choose Christ, you live. You do away with Christ, you take death, you die. Just no two ways about it. Salvation is about life and death. And when they tell you anything that is poisonous, praise the Lord, they will write there, poison. Any liquid, any bottle containing poison, they will write there, poison. So that you be careful. Unless if you want to die, then you can take it and die. Amen. And when you know, praise the Lord, every one of us here that in head correct, before you take any drug in this present day Nigeria, before you buy anything that has been bottled, the first thing everybody looks at for is expiry date. Because you are going to eat something that will enter your body. And many people have died or received complications in their health because of taking fake drugs or expired drugs. That's true. Amen. And then you see about bottles of Ragolis water. Let me use the word Ragolis. Bottle water. And then they tell you that some of these bottles that they arrange here, some of them are sulfuric acid. Some are water. So please be careful. You know how sulfuric acid looks? You know it's the same thing like water. The same thing. If you put it in a glass, the same thing as the glass of water. Then, you are looking for water, fountain of water. Come to me and drink freely. All ye that labor and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. Come in a time of refreshing. And everybody is coming to Christ. Everybody is coming to Christianity. Listen, church, Christianity now is like Ragolis water packed in that plastic container in the midst of the same bottle packed with sulfuric acid. That is the estate that Christianity is now. It's not every class they give you to drink. Look where we're first. Because we saw that there is another Jesus, there is another gospel, and there is another spirit. So is it the real Jesus you are receiving? Or is another Jesus? Is it the real Holy Ghost you are receiving? Or is another Holy Ghost? Is it the real gospel you are receiving? Or is another gospel? Make your calling and election sure. Salvation is by faith, not assumption. What is faith? Faith is revelation. It's revelation. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and verse 17. I am not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17 is my emphasis. For therein, that gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, inside it, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Righteousness is revealed in there. From revelation to revelation. Isaiah 28 says, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Amen. Faith here, as used here, is revelation. Revelation. That is what is missing today. Revelation of who Jesus Christ is. What God's agenda for our salvation is. His divine agenda. Revelation. Revelation. Until you catch it. Somebody sent me a text. This, I saw it early this morning. He said, please, just tell me in one simple sentence. Tell me in one simple sentence. Why you say women should not wear a ring? He said, after all, in the book of Exodus and whatever else, he said, they both men and women there, they were wearing a ring and blah, 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 and things like that. He said, tell me where in the New Testament that has been removed. Tell me where God ever frowned at anybody wearing a ring in the Bible. Well, I answered the person back. I said, it is to avoid such argument as you are bringing up that we have been telling everybody, go and get the Holy Ghost. I said, because the Holy Ghost in you will tell you the mind of God at every given time. I say, I can tell you, I say, maybe you have the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost in you tells you there is nothing wrong with wearing earrings as a Christian woman, or wearing trousers, because the person spoke about trousers too. And I said, the Holy Ghost in you sees nothing wrong with it. But I can show you so many sisters that have received supposedly the same Holy Ghost as you receive, but that spirit that they receive, I told them not to wear trousers, not to wear earrings. And it's so serious until the stubborn ones, you sometimes arrest them here and chain them. I said, so if your own Holy Ghost say it doesn't matter, continue. There's no argument about it. I said, don't listen to what I am saying. Don't listen to what we are preaching. Just continue with that spirit that is telling you to dress like prostitute and dress anyhow. That's why I say, church, there is another spirit. Because that person belongs to a church. And somebody called me from Cotonou yesterday. And then he's saying that he belongs to a church. And he decided not to pay his tithe into that church. What is the reason? He said, because he said he was in that church for so many years, and yet he was not converted until he jammed our broadcast to the Bright Television. He said, because this is the church that got him converted, that he'll be sending his tithe there. And they are getting angry with him. He said, why? He said, he was in his church with a woman that he did not pay bride price. They were living together. Pastor Thomas, they came from Cotonou. You bless their marriage. He said, he was there for years, and the pastor never said anything like that. If he had died in that estate, where will he have been? He didn't know he was doing anything wrong until he jammed our broadcast. You see? Praise the Lord. That's why I say, it's not every church that is taking people for the rapture. See where they are concerned. They are concerned about his tithe.
But I'm not concerned how he was living with a woman that he didn't marry. It is revelation that will produce that. Because if the pastor had revelation, he would have known what to teach his people. Salvation is by faith. Faith is revelation. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4. Let me tell you this revelation. Chapter 11 verse 4. Let's read it from verse 1 up to verse 4. It said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. You have not seen, yet you believe. What makes you to believe, to have a hope, is called faith. That thing is revelation. Verse 2. Now, it says, for by faith, by it, the elders, our forefathers in the faith, obtained a good report. Verse 3. Through faith, that is how, through faith, we understand that the walls were framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen, we are not made of things which do appear. Oh, then verse 4, my emphasis. By faith is taking you to the story of Cain and Abel. So that you understand why Abel's own was rejected and Abel was accepted, Cain was rejected. Why? By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. So the faith talk there. It's not the faith to cast out demons. It's not anointing. It is what? Revelation. There is something that Abel knew that Cain did not know. Cain and Abel, they are the two groups of people that are following Jesus Christ today. A lot of one other group is just to belong to a church, religion. While the other one has caught something about who Jesus is. And then, upon this rock of the revelation of who Jesus is, I will build my church. Now, those who have a revelation of who Jesus Christ is, and when who is he, it's not just the one that answers prayers. Amen. It's not just the one that answers prayers. It's not just the one that heals and does mighty miracles, signs and wonders. It's more than that. It's more than that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, there is something that Abel knew. Cain didn't know it. What is it that Abel knew? Why were they offering a sacrifice? They were asked, offering a sacrifice for the atonement of the sin of themselves and their father and their mother. God has separated from them, and Adam told them what happened. Oh, not be so with them for this garden before now come. Oh, we enjoy here. Oh, something happened. Oh, see that thing when they crawl, go there and I cause them. And your mama. Your mama, oh, and your mama land us for this case. I know they oh, and you go chop. They say now play. See where we there now. And that is how a lot of people play with the word of God. And you play with God's commandment. And yet you read that same Bible that says, I am the Lord, I change it not. And you play, somebody played with the word of God and see what we have been reduced into. For 6,000 years, man has been reduced like this. Had to send that man Jesus to die that torturous death on the cross of Calvary. Because a woman compromised the word of God. Well, that is why you, and now came, Lord, have mercy on us. And then, Abel knew that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. But Cain didn't know it. See? So, what happened now? Cain assumed, he sat down and assumed that this God is a good God. If I can build a beautiful altar, put a lot of flowers, a lot of lighting effects, you know, change the altar every day, change the decoration every day, make sure nobody climbs that altar. Amen. Now let me see. I hope you know that this is not the true altar. This one here. I hope you know this is not the true altar. Where is the true altar? In your heart, oh! With a dirty heart, you are coming here. Lord, I'm coming to the altar, Lord. You are like a king. No revelation. I want to say some things this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Here we are. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The denominations tell us that if you just confess, Romans chapter 10, let's read it. Verse 8 up to verse 13. He said, but what saith it? Theologians, motivational speakers, doctorate degree holders, they use this place to tell you how simple salvation is. See, salvation is very, very simple. Very, very simple. Oh, yeah. But what said it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. What does it? What is it? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, confess with your mouth. Confess with your mouth. Everybody confess with your mouth. Say, Lord Jesus. Say it now. Say it now. And shall believe. Is it hard to say, Lord Jesus? Was it hard for you? And shall believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead. Is it difficult to believe that he rose from the dead? Demons know it. Eh? Demons know. You believe that God has raised him from the dead. If you believe, he said, thou shalt be. You see how easy salvation is? Just confess Jesus with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's all. You are saved. Amen. If that is what you are standing upon to say you are saved, you are receiving salvation by assumption. You're not saved, nothing. You're not saved like that. It goes further. See it, the next verse. See what he said. For he's explaining it now. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It is this verse, they can never understand it. This verse is deeper than is written. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, I read up verse 13 again. Hallelujah. With the heart, man will believe unto righteousness. That is, if you believe it in your heart, it is supposed to produce righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Your confession is supposed to lead you to salvation. The next verse. Hallelujah. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, you see, now, for salvation, there's no need to touch anybody who is drinking beer or smoking. There will be no need to touch homosexuals and lesbians if they can just confess with their mouth and they can believe in their heart. You are saved. Therefore, after a message, now if you want to receive Christ, you want to be saved, can you stand up? Say after me, I believe, because they want to confess. It's not like that though. That is what I mean by salvation. By assumption. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is for the denominationals. In the entire message, you call their own is worse. Oh, enter message believers. Kai. Until people are calling us to show them where they can go and hear the enter message, and we are afraid where to direct them to. Because of the mess they have gone into. Now, this is enter message for you. William Branham made a statement that the evidence of the Holy Ghost in this age, evidence that you have received the Holy Ghost, is that you will receive the message of your day. Oh, it's a very popular quote. Hey, Malachi 4:5-6, I believe. Revelation 10:7, I believe. William Branham ministry, I believe. That's why I'm happy and dancing every day. Amen. He said that you received the message of your day. So if you believe that Revelation 10:7 is the ministry of William Branham, Malachi 4:5-6, William Branham's ministry fulfilled it. He said, it will take the Holy Ghost for you to believe it. Therefore, you have received the Holy Ghost. Now, liar! There were people that believed the messenger of their day, John the Baptist. Yet, Apostle Paul asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Nothing like that, though. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. How can you receive salvation without the Holy Ghost? Satan knows it. If he can make you believe something wrong, something that will keep you far from eternal life, then he has no problem with you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is all about assuming salvation. You don't assume salvation. And so, we pick our text. Where we read, here are the parents of Jesus. And they were with him. Every year they will come to Jerusalem for the feast. They will go back. They came to worship. Hallelujah. Now, they finished with the temple, but they left the temple, but they did not live with the word. The word stayed back in the temple. Amen. Where is the word of God supposed to stay? It's in the temple. And where is the temple? Apostle Paul said, ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I am the temple of God. He says, destroy this temple. In 3 days I will raise it up. Ye are the temple of God. Why? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ said, the kingdom of God cometh not by observation. If they say, lo, he is here, he said, don't go there. Go, Lord, he's here. Don't go there. Why? He said the kingdom of God is within you. And so I want to ask you, is the kingdom of God now in you? If you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, Christ does not follow anybody home anywhere. Christ stays in the temple. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So look inward for Christ. That's why we are looking inward now. Search yourself. Is Christ in me? Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when they found him not, what did they do? They turned back to Jerusalem, where they departed from. I know I'm talking to somebody. You see, I'm speaking deep things now. So those who are following, you will even go deeper than me in your understanding. Eh? When they found out, after they looked for him, they didn't see him. Where did they go back to look for him? It's where they left him. That's where they left him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Where is Christ found? Christ is found in his word. You leave the Bible, you have left Christ. You leave the word, you have left Christ. Christ is the word. The word of God made flesh. You want to know Christ. You want to have Christ. Have his word. You will have him. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And they did not find him until after 3 days. And as I read that scripture, a woman was looking for Christ and could not find him until after 3 days. Hey, what flashed in my mind was the story of the church ages. The lost touch of Christ during the dark ages. They left the Bible Christianity and held on to, you know, theologies and all the things that you see, you know about church history. They held on to man-made doctrines. Busy with some other things. And the word of God was nowhere to be found. Oh, glory be to God. Until the totality of the word of God, remember, it was destroyed. Through that parable in Matthew 13 verse 33, 3 measures of meal mixed with leaven by a woman, and the whole thing was corrupted, and the word of God disappeared. But I shall restore, says the Lord. And the process of restoration began for those 3 works of grace to be restored for perfection. And then we saw all those parables in Matthew chapter 13. Let's read. Amen. Verse 33. Let's read it again for those who may be hearing this for the first time. Another parable spake unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. That is during the dark ages. And it lasted for about 1,000 years of Christian history. But something happened. Verse 44. Matthew 13, verse 44 to 45. But let's read 44 first. Verse 44 is when the restoration now. This is the story of Luther. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man had found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he had and buyeth that field. Selling all there is doing away with every other theology that he received from the Catholic Church. After he found out that contrary to what he was believing, that he was taught by the Catholic Church, Salvation is by faith. The just shall live by faith. He troubled the Catholic theology. Somebody here, all your denominational theology, you must drop it. When you find the truth that's contrary to your theology. It says all he had. He was so happy, so joyful. Verse 45 is John Wesley. That is the second work of grace. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. The next verse. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, a pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had. He dropped everything he had when he discovered that without holiness, no one will see God. Without holiness, no man will see God. And what is Christianity if God is not in it? What is your religion if God is not in it? And so, he throws away everything he had to be able to have this pearl of great price. And that great price is a life of holiness that is very, very beneficial. It's a life of holiness. Christianity without holiness makes you not different from people in the world. Something that stands you out. What is consecration? Consecration is being washed and set aside for God's use. What is Christianity? What is Christianity? What is my faith? If I cannot have a relationship with God. If I am not worthy for God to use me for anything to glorify His name. In a great house, there are two different types of vessels. Vessels unto honor and vessels unto dishonor. He said, if a man purge himself of all this uncleanness, he will be able to present himself meet for the master's use. Why will I be a Christian and then I am a borrowed vessel? Then God just uses me like he used an animal. Anybody that is not converted, you are still living a nonsense lifestyle and you are anointed. I am telling you, God looks at you like that Balaam's ass. Oh yes, he only uses you when there is nothing else to use around and you are available, then he uses you. After that, you go away and live your dirty life. That is what people don't tell their church members anymore. Until everything about worldliness is found in the church. In fact, the church now sets a pace for fashion. If you want to know the latest dress, go to church. Yes. Last week, I saw a brother over there that was dancing. And he wore a suit. Come. And they see you. This one, last week I see him. Now, the inner shirt, he fly it. He does not tuck in. Then he carries suit, put on top. Do you understand? Now, you understand what I'm saying? He fly the shirt inside. Then carry jacket, suit, and put on top. Now, you know that a suit is a dress for gentlemen. Do you understand? Now, but these ruffians, musicians, those ruffians, musicians, you know that is how? Everything that is for gentlemen, they perverted it. Now, if you want to wear a suit, wear a suit. If you want to wear shirt and trouser, wear shirt and trouser now. Why they wear shirt? Then you carry cloth, put on top. Are you a comedian? Now, I am trying to tell you how the world has entered the church. Where did that brother pick that thing from? He picked it from the world. Brother, if you, there is even in the world, there is gentleman and there is a lady. There are Christians, and even by your dress, in those days, when you see a minister of God, first is from their dressing. Once you see him, not the collar he wears, not the Bible he holds, but there is a grace around him when he dresses and is moving. Now, comedians are holding microphone. Anytime you speak to somebody who says he's a Christian, and you tell him something from the scripture, and he doesn't change, where my mind goes is Cain. There's nothing in you to change. If there's something in you, you'll be corrected, because the Holy Ghost is intreatable. It's intreatable. Praise the Lord. So here we trace, and you won't know whether somebody is a minister or not. We are comedians. Because the gospel has, you know, the sanctity of the gospel has been totally destroyed. No more reverence, even at the altar anymore. When John Wesley caught that revelation that you worship God in the beauty of holiness, and he saw the advantage, what did he do? Oh, glory be to God. He threw away all the nonsense he has been copying before. All the nonsense. Up till now, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Christian women, when they are going on the road, just going on the road, Agbero knows who is a Christian and who is not a Christian. And it is not the Bible you see in your hand that Agbero knows whether you are a Christian or not. He knows that you are a hypocrite when you are carrying Bible, big Bible in your hand, and you are dressing and your laps are showing. And you are going on the road. And maybe you wear one heel. And then you are shaking your bum bum on the road and you are going like that. Agbero, we know, say, this one, now here he belongs. Now we get this one. Then when they stop you, praise God. When they stop you, you left your house in the morning. You prayed, you fasted. You are a virgin. Nobody has ever, no man has ever kissed you. You're on fire. Every day you pray for 4 hours before you go out. Then after you wake up, you finish your prayer. Then you are not going to work. Then you look at your wardrobe. Then you dress the one with tear hair. You paint your head. Spend 1 hour, you are still painting. Carry razor blade. Come out your eyebrow. Carry black chalk. Paint them back there. That's where the grace is. Okay, God put something black there. You carry razor blade. You shave it. Then after shaving it, you suddenly realize you look like a dog. Then again, it's there you remember. Then you can't carry one black chalk again and put inside. Can't you see something is wrong with you? Praise the Lord. Something is wrong. Then after you do that one, then now you carry your very high heel shoe to lift you up. Then you dress. The back is open. Sleeveless dress. What do they call it? Shawarma. Spaghetti. Spaghetti.
You don't charge yourself. Build up yourself in the most holy faith. Praying in the spirit. I bind all evil. You carry a handbag, put. I bind every spirit of any. Then you enter the road. Wait first. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, you have a car, sir. You have a car. Now you have a car. And it's a private car. Then you are using your car in Lagos. Then you wake up and then you change the color to yellow and black stripes. This car is for me and my family only. But you painted it taxi color. Then you drive, you are going outside. As you drive, you say, taxi. Then you are shouting, God will punish all of you. Now my car be your taxi. God will punish all of you. If you don't want them to stop you, why did you paint your car Lagos taxi color? Okay, sister. Now you don't dress like that. Holy Ghost fill sister. Charge herself. Then you are here dressing like a prostitute. And you are now going. You are singing on the way. You are even singing in tongue. Then you jump. You go bus stop. And then Agbere will say, I see. Then you are turning. Holy Ghost fire on you. Holy Ghost fire on you. Me, I'm a daughter of God. Am I a prostitute? Holy Ghost fire. Why do you dress like a prostitute? You dress to advertise yourself. Those who are looking for your type of people, they jam you for road. They are calling you. You are selling market now. Customer must come. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the problem with many Christians. You may not have allowed any man to touch you, but your appearance does not show that you belong to Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then John Wesley found what I have also found. How many people have found that great price? Oh. See. William Branham put it this way. He said, it is a life of holiness that thunders against the enemy. He said, a life of holiness thunders against the enemy. Because the enemy will want to look for something to accuse you. Jesus Christ said, the prince of this world cometh, but he will find nothing in me. You see? You will claim your right spiritually when you know where you are standing. Oh, that is the truth. Praise the Lord. It is not the size of the Bible. It is the life that you live that makes that Bible meaningful. Glory be to God.